sight of the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Is that so true? It is Labor Day weekend, Joe, and I know two guys who don't know anything about easy living.
That's definitely not us.
You're
that's
talking to them.
Yeah, that's one of them fantasies that, you know, it's like a beautiful woman walks up to me and says, is there anything I could do for you? I'm like, yeah, paint my house.
Yeah. Yes, so you...
Anything that gets me into the lawn chair is fine with me.
Absolutely. So the two guys we're talking about is, of course, myself, Ray Guarino, my co-host, wingman, compadre, and great friend, Joe D.
Got my foot off the gas, just letting it coast down.
That's it.
Doing a little D-cell diagnostics.
Shove it on down into overdrive. you can get a hold of us. You can call us and be part of this at 516-572-7440.
Yeah, call us. Get us out of this. Otherwise, we'll end up talking to ourselves too much, and then... That could be dangerous.
Right.
Because then we come up with these little schemes, little plans. It's like, hey, you know, why don't we just rip the motor out of that car, you know, out of your car, and next thing you know, there's portable jack stands and cranes out. And,
right.
And it's raining. I don't want to do that. So please, like, deter us.
Right. Well, check us on the web, motormouthradio.com. See what we've been up to. See what's going on over there. You can also hear us as replayed on iHeartRadio and Performance Motorsports Network.
Yes, you could find, if you want to, we're there. You could find us. So, you know, if you're actually doing something worthwhile today and not completely bored out of your wits, by all means. And look at that, we started flashing already.
Let's flash the flashy thing and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yes, I cut the light and I got on.
Hey, all right, what's happening, Christian?
What's up?
Hey, man.
Good. Is that Joe?
Yes, it is.
That's Joe.
Okay. This phone call pertains to Joe.
Uh-oh. Shoot.
But in a little bit, I'll get to that. First, I want to get to, did you get my link yesterday with the bike that was featured in Full Throttle?
You know, I did. And I have to apologize because Christian sent me some text. I did a Joe D. It was like 10 after 9, and I fell asleep.
I'm sorry. Yeah, No. I just...
Christian, anytime you can say, I figured I would catch up with you again today, so I didn't get to view it, so tell me what that was about, if it's pertinent.
The feature in the Full Throttle in August was E.J. Potter's V8 drag bike. It was the alcohol-injected drag bike from 1973,
right?
Which I did not know broke a world record, and it was in the Guinness Book of World Record as the fastest motorcycle in the world. And it went like an 860 at 172 mile an hour or something.
Oofa!
But I researched it a little bit, and I was familiar with E.J. Potter, but I wasn't really familiar with the bike that much. But it's a good spread in Full Throttle. And when you look at it, the bike is very crude.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't understand why there was no wheelie bar on it.
Okay.
So I found some footage, and it was Super 8 film on YouTube, and it was Connecticut Dragway. And there's like a good pass that he makes in the footage and back in the 70s up in Connecticut with this motorcycle. And yeah, no wheelie bar.
Wow.
But what he would do is he would launch the bike off to the side out of the groove.
Oh, okay.
And the bike would just blow the tire away down the whole entire track.
It was like bowling where you throw the ball on an arc and let it come back. It comes back
insane.
In your line.
Yeah, it's a great footage, though. It's all Super 8 film. There's... There's hot rods and other cars in it, some funny cars and slingshots in it. And
just, where,
there's no sound. It's a great, that YouTube clip,
oh,
share that with some people.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward to that. Excellent.
I had the pleasure of, in 1996, we had a friend of ours that built the Boss Haas.
Uh-huh.
And I was working at Custom Cycle at the time. I remember I got off from work, and my dad was at the bar over in right at the end of Bedford Avenue down in Belmore. What was that? The old Diamond Club. I can't remember the name of it then.
Let me think. Bedford Avenue?
Right on Oak Street in Bedford. It was right at the corner. It used to be the Diamond Club back in the day.
Wasn't that like TJ's for a while or something like that?
I remember the Diamond Club as a kid.
Well, Joe, just so Joe knows, a Boss Hoss, that was a V8.
It's a V8. We had a friend that built one.
V8 motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was only like 26, and I just got off from the shop. My dad called me up, and he's like, listen, come down. We're over at that bar. Jimmy from Chicago is here, and he's got this motorcycle he just built. And I remember when I walked into the bar, Jimmy was like, hey, Christian, he threw me the keys to the bike.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, no way. So I went out. I have a picture, too. I'll send it to you. But yeah. I got to ride a Boss Haas in 1996. When you get on a motorcycle that's got a small block Chevy between your legs, you think you'd be terrified. But I tell you what, I terrified Belmore that night with that motorcycle.
I'll bet.
Up and down Belmore Avenue. All I did was blow the tire away all up and down Belmore Avenue with this thing. It was insane.
Nice.
And
that's cool.
It's not that bad to ride.
Well, I would imagine that with all the torque at hand, obviously you don't need a hot rod engine in the thing.
So there's one speed.
I'm saying you could just probably just throttle it up and ride it very conservatively and have
a transmission in it, though.
Yeah, and just have a nice ride with the thing. It's not like
it's got a flywheel in it, like a regular clutch in it, too. So there's a foot clutch, and then when the bike starts up, the vacuum takes over, and then there's a hand clutch.
Yeah.
So when the bike is running, you use the hand clutch. But it's it. There's no speeds. It's just 0 to 6,500 RPM, and yeah.
I'm kind of thinking it's like a, unlike a KZ1000, something that's a little peaky and torquey where you got to get the clutch at the engagement right, or a CBX, something that was a little quirky. That thing has got to be just, you could grandma it out and just do whatever you want with it.
It's grunt to max.
I thought I'd be scared of it, but it was the opposite. I terrorized this with this motorcycle. Yeah. It was insane, but it was a lot of fun.
And let's see, you must have been all of about 130 pounds at the time, right?
No, I was about 180.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm 6'2". Yeah,
Now you're 130. Whoa.
I'm over 200 now. Well, actually, not that bad, actually. I'm hovering around.
I just diverted because there's a page on Joe's computer. It says hardcore Italians, and there's these beautiful-looking cannolis.
Cannolis, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Do you want to talk about adding ballast?
Let's go, man. Bring it on. I lost a few pounds working in the shop. I could bulk up a little.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was fantasizing about small-block bikes and cannolis at the same time.
You can eat the cannoli while you're riding the bike.
Where's the mop? Give me the mop.
That Widowmaker, which is featured in that Full Throttle, though, that footage on YouTube I sent you, it's insane. It's just the thing lights the tire up and down the whole 1320, man.
I bet.
Yeah, it's amazing that, it was a 500 horse. It had a Hillborn injected small block in it. It says it has Dart 2 or...
It has
aluminum heads on it in the feature, but I think it's cast iron head, but I could be wrong.
A lot of guys paint them. They paint them so they look really kind of stealth.
It's Chevy red. It's all that. But if you look at the frame, it's very crude. It's just super crude.
Sure.
And it's just got a big car tire in the back.
Yeah. I got to tell you something funny. Years ago, this is going back to the 70s, the first bike I had was a CB550. And I was doing a service on it. I don't know what. I had the rear wheel off it for some reason. And I might have been doing a swing on bushing or whatever. And I just happened to have an F60 14 laying there on a rim. I rolled it under the bike, and just to see what it would look like. And it looked really, because it fit perfect in the swing arm.
Yeah.
Friends were coming over like, oh man, what'd you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm building a drag bike.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. I had everybody believe in it. Like these
the
idiots.
Mock-up, yeah.
You could see there was no axle. No, I'll send you the picture because I did that. And my idiot friends, it shows you learn what your friends don't know about motorcycles.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've done
that. I've done wacky stuff like that for sure. Absolutely. Mm. But I'll before I get going, I have a special request, and this has to do with Joe.
Uh-oh.
No, no, it's all good. It's just I have a friend, Bob, over in Oceanside, and he asked me the other day. He listens, and a whole bunch of other guys that are out there from the Oldsmobile Club and everything are always listening. And
right.
Stuff. And a bunch of guys were just wondering, like, you know, they always hear about you and diagnosing, and now that you're on the show a lot, but I think there's some bio that they're missing on you. And just
that's
to get
bio
some
hazard.
What's that?
That's biohazard. That's why they made me wear this rubber suit.
Yeah.
But what I understand, you were involved with Standard Automotive, right?
Yeah, I still am.
Oh, you are. Okay.
I still work. That was. I've been there like 21 years. I originally was on their tech line where you used to be able to call in and get diagnostic. I would call it guidance for like 12, 13 years, and before I got my present job. Before they sold that division off to a company called Identifix.
Some people ask me, you know, what are you doing? Like, are you affiliated with a shop now?
Several.
Basically, yeah. Basically, I have like one main shop that I spend a lot of my time at over in Bayside. And then I got like two or three. They're more like friends than customers.
Right.
At this point, it's just the fact that if anybody calls me at like 11 at night, basically, is either becomes a friend.
That better be a friend.
A customer or a target.
Well, that's me with Ray with my rants, you know, at 11 o'clock at night.
If it's a friend, you take that call or text, you talk about curling, or you talk about,
well,
you know.
Trump to turbos.
Yeah.
Right. There you go.
If it's a customer, the flag goes up and the meter starts.
I got a correction here. Hold on. It's women's curling.
That's correct. Women's curling. Christian and I were involved with that one night. We went from The Song Remains the Same, watching, you know, Bonham burnouts, to like, hey, put on channel 168. It's like, you know, 168 is not, it's the chiller channel. That's sci-fi. It was like, well, some sports channel. We're both watching TV at our respective houses and texting the women's curling.
It's awesome.
It was cool.
It's intense.
I'm curious. I mean, I could see like volleyball and stuff.
Right.
But
curling.
Okay.
It's the intensity of these women and the concentration. It pierces right through your TV and it hypnotizes you.
Yeah. Okay.
And the outfits and everything else, you know, and you get some, you know, you become a fan real quick.
Right.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
I am now curious.
Back to Joe, though. But
yes.
A couple of guys were just asking me. They were just really impressed with your knowledge and your diagnostic knowledge. And
kudos
like
to Joe.
That.
Thank you.
I think you deserve some, you know, some dedication to, you know, what you do and some background and, you know, I think you deserve.
Very kind of you.
We do kind of have that going into it. You know what that all comes down to? It comes down to this.
What does Joe know?
Yeah, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, that comes up quite a bit, actually. But no, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I mean, there are guys, you know, way, way better than me, way more advanced than me. But
keep talking, Chuck.
And some of them work on there. But, you know, I basically like to consider myself the one-eyed man in the land of the blind for the most part. But thank you. You know what I mean? And I'd like to seek out new life and new civilizations whenever I can.
Sorry, Christian, I couldn't.
There
resist.
You go.
I have a tricorder in the van.
A lot of people were asking me, and so I just figured we can get a little touched up on that.
Well, Christian, if you like, you know, listen, you're a friend, you're a longtime listener, a longtime friend. You want to bring one or two of the guys in to the studio one day, have them do
I'm
the show with
on
us?
That, yes.
Yeah, we'll shoot the shinola. You
bring
know what I'm saying?
Down. Yeah, we're all.
Yeah, I figured maybe I'll get Bob to come. Bob has been a longtime affiliate of mine with porting, selling head porting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of amazing head work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Bob goes way back. He used to work with Merkel and stuff back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
SK Speed, you know, he's been around. He's probably there's hundreds and hundreds of cylinder heads that he's been involved with that are racing around this country, you know, and you know, very knowledgeable guy, and he's involved with the guys from the Oldsmobile Club. And he knows a lot of people, and he's turned a lot of guys onto motor mount,
you know,
and stuff.
You bring him in here because I have a vacuum gauge from Oldsmobile that I don't know what model it fit. It was an accessory, and maybe I could run it by Bob. So the official motor mouth invitation
Bob
is
Jones
out.
Bob Jones is the guy you probably want. He's the actual Oldsmobile collector. Bob's got a Corvette. He's got a beautiful 63 convertible Vette.
Ooh.
And he's got a 70 Chevelle, big block Chevelle he did.
That's nice.
Absolutely gorgeous.
You're
so
killing
he's no slouch. I've seen him build a car from the, you know, ground up. and meticulously do it, you know.
Yeah, with so, with that, we're going to take a break. But I realized when I was at the shop this week working on a 72 Chevelle.
Gorgeous car, by the way.
Yeah.
My favorite color.
It is nice. That was Frank Bott's mom's car, by the way.
Beautiful car.
Yeah. I said to Mike Jr., I said, you know what? I've come to realize that I'd rather build a car than work on a car.
Yeah.
You know, because everything is going together nice and clean. Pieces are like the noses off. You put the engine in. But whatever. You work on it, pays the bills. All right, Christian.
Yeah, man. That was some bike story, bro.
Oh, yeah. I'll apologize to all the people back in 1996 if I scared the crap out of them on the Stonemore Avenue that night.
They'll get over it.
I like to think about as waking them up.
Right.
I was having so much fun on that thing.
Good.
All righty, brother. We'll be in touch soon.
Yeah, stay. Yeah.
All right, Christian.
Bye.
So long. That was our Christian, our Ignis Klein, our motorcycle aficionado and machinist. I mean, Christian's got a lot of tools in his bag, but... A
lot of feathers in that cap, yeah.
Absolutely.
Hell and, yeah. That's the kind of guy that you could sit down and you could have a really good conversation on any number of levels, whether it's machining or women's sports or cars or bikes, you know.
Relationships. You know, I know I've lost my mind, but I hope that I'm not losing you. So let's just go to a break on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll be back in a minute. Dig on this.
Break it down.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development and Lifelong Learning at Nassau Community College, which offers you the opportunity to become a registered EMT. You can complete this program in 4 months and begin a career as an EMT.
During this program, you can learn basic life support for individuals with illnesses or in accidents that require emergency medical treatment prior to arrival at a hospital emergency room. You will learn CPR and take FEMA classes. The course begins September 26th. For more information, contact the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or visit ncc.edu.
You know how much Jack Daniels you have to drink and how many cigarettes you have to smoke to get that voice level?
And he still has it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, pretty much he must have a couple of Keith Richards cells in him.
I would think so, yeah.
God knows I've tried to make it to that level, but
no,
they had to call the ambulance at me at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
Good old Rod. How much Rod could you take?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, connecting or otherwise. Ah, look at that. Made the phone flash.
All righty. Well, let's go to this flashy thing and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Yes, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic. Long time no speak.
Vic!
Yeah, right.
What's going on?
I know Christian's listening, but I don't think he remembers this one. He used to live in Belmore at one of the parties, and in that house, basically, it ended in Y. It was a party day. But he had a bunch of guys come from Chicago for a party, and the one had bought a Boss Hog and immediately started putting it together. I think it was 17 hours later, started it up, and drove from Chicago to Belmore.
Cool.
Well, that's what he said. His dad called him and said, there's a guy from Chicago here with a Boss horse you got to see.
It was great. It was a beautiful, no color or nothing like that. It was just fantastic. That was a great party.
Yeah.
I almost remember that one.
What was the name?
I went to, you there?
Yeah,
we're here.
And I went to Dead Man's Curve yesterday, which was fantastic.
You know, our good friend Al, Jeepin' Al, from the Thursday Night Playing in Traffic show, he was there. He's been sending me pictures. And he also told me news, Led East is now done.
Yeah, done. Which is on another Christian note.
Terry Cook.
We went to the first one when it was in the college.
Yeah.
With his father's three window, which he probably owns like something like that now.
Oh, Christian
and
Drive.
There's a picture. I think we had 10 or 12 people on that deuce.
Right. Yeah, Christian drives that car now.
He drove it when he was like 10 years old, probably, too.
Yeah, true. You're right. Right.
But yeah, there's a picture of us. I think we had three on each running board, two in the car, two in the rumble, and one or two hanging on a bumper or something like that. It was a fantastic car.
Yeah. Wow. The email I read, Terry Cook said he's retiring, but Appleton Productions, the company he built to run the thing, is up for sale. So somebody can take it over, and I'm thinking, you know, that's the thing. Guys that are going to 50s events, like, you know, as the population ages, things go out of fad. Like, we don't really do the Charleston anymore and wear wingtip shoes and pinstripe suits. But so I'm wondering, is anybody going to pick it up? Do they think that they can, you know, make it viable again? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Vic?
I don't know, but it's funny because it became a suck-ass show, you know, all poses and all.
Right.
But a guy I met about 2 or 3 months ago is head of security and told me anytime I want to go to it, it's free. He'll hand me wristbands.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but it's not heck of all the wristbands I want if there's no show now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You can have a whole box and it's not going to mean jack diddly squat, right?
Yeah, right.
But Dead Man's Curve, tell us about that because that is a great show.
Basically, it's an enormous circle in front of the Sheridan, and it's about a half a mile walk around, and it's all true car people. You can have a $100,000 rod parked next to something that just has moon hubcaps on it,
right,
and rusted and in prime, which, you know, spray paint flames, and nobody cares.
And that's in Mahwah, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just fantastic.
Right.
No, they had a wrap-off contest with open headers, and all you can drive around open headers. You can play your music, like the Tiki Kings and the Dragas from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bar set up. A bunch of other clubs just had bars set up. Nobody hassles anybody. It's just a great event, except that the motels will kill you.
Yeah, and that is kind of the way Led East was in the beginning. It was more of that free-for-all, everybody just having a good time and hanging out. Type of thing.
Well, the guys that put on Dead Man's Curve were friends of Terry Cook.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And they hated where it went to. It went to, if you want to go to the dance, if you want to this, it's all extra.
Mm.
If you're spending over $1,000 to enjoy yourself for a weekend, which is basically sitting in front of your car, it gets to be too much.
Absolutely.
Like they were saying with the but he's closing, how many cars are they going to get next year at Dead Man's, and there's no really room for any more.
Yeah, I guess
they may have outgrown themselves already.
I wonder if they're going to start looking for an alternate site, a new site.
Well, this is a perfect site because they give you a wristband, so you really can't get in and out, even though there's no fences. It's just all by itself, this Sheridan.
Yeah.
It's the one road in and the one road out.
But if it's restricted by space, it now it becomes an issue.
Right. And then it's $20 to walk around, which isn't a bad deal because it's a nice, safe location. And like I said, there's no problems.
Right.
You don't do, there's a dead end where if you want to do a little burnout, you can. You don't do it over like 5 miles an hour going around the circle.
So that's where all my friends hang out with the burnouts in the curve.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was nice. And they're always chopping a car there.
Right.
The chop used to be at Led East. Now they're doing it. They did a model, a Model T this year. So we basically just cut it and it falls right down on itself.
Yeah, it falls on itself.
Chop, but it's nice. Yeah,
right.
It's a good one day show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because there's just so many cars you can look at 2-3 times. But the thing is, we were walking and noticing little stuff on each car that if you just walk on by, you wouldn't notice.
Right. Sure.
So it was a good time.
Good.
Yeah, and also the Diamond Club. He's talking about in Belmore?
Yeah.
That was the first place the Stray Cats played.
Oh, no. Well, Christian has a tie-in with them as well, so that makes sense.
Yeah, big tie-in everywhere. Was it 5 degrees of separation or something like that?
Right. Absolutely.
You know? That's what happens when you grow up in the same geographical area. You never know who you're going to run into, who you grew up with, who you sold parts to, whose car you fixed. You never know.
whose parts you have on your car. It happened to me with a guy from Belmoir. That's a story for another day, but he, you know, I was like, yeah, I got the doors and the seat from your car. How'd you get those? Well, your brother sold them to me. My brother, yeah, he said his brother was dead. He goes, my brother said I was dead. I'm like, yeah. And oh, that started a whole big thing outside of Cap Auto Parts on Belmoir Avenue about, I don't know, that 10, 12 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yep. All right, guys.
All right, Vic.
Carry
good
on.
Talking
I'll
to you, Vic.
Later, okay?
All right, Vic. Man. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good old Vic.
We haven't spoken to him in a while, but
yeah, he is a colorful turner of the phrase, yeah. I must say. So yeah, it's good. I almost remember that one. That's my favorite today. If we ever start doing montages and promos again, that's got to go on there.
Which one? Which?
I almost remembered it.
Oh right, yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about saying about the 70s. If you remembered it, you were not really there.
Absolutely.
We're flashing again.
Let's take a chance. We'll see. We'll squeak this in before the break. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Wait, I almost remembered it.
Yes, caller. Don't listen to the radio. Listen to the phone.
Yeah, come on.
And you're going to listen to the Bronc. Good morning, guys. How you
hey,
guys doing?
What are you doing? Now you're mailing your radio signal? What? Come on.
Bronc?
What's the matter? You can't hear me? Change those hearing aids. You're getting old.
You're going to squeak in right under our break, so this has got to be a kind of a quickie.
Yeah, man. Talk to me.
Okay, real quick, I'll give you an update on that tensioner. It turned out it was the automatic tensioner, and
excellent.
When they turned the AC on, the tensioner would jump about an inch and a half and then go on about a 30-degree angle.
Got it.
And that's what was causing the problem.
Excellent.
Nice shooting,
okay.
Man.
I got a great one for you. You know, you see a lot of half-assed repairs, and you say, what the hell were they thinking, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
2000 Firebird, went to do a brake job on it.
Right.
Pull the front pads out, take the caliper off. Somebody glued the piston together. It literally fell apart. Have you ever seen that inside a caliper?
Glued the piston?
How so? What do you mean they glued the piston together?
Do you mean the phenolic piston?
No, this was a cast. It was a cast iron piston.
And they glued it.
It literally fell apart on the pad. I got pictures of it. I'll send it on the
I'd
email.
I'd love to see that, yeah. No, because that's like
it's
yo,
death waiting to happen.
Yeah,
right,
that's serious, like drug abuse, idiocy, and
somebody who thinks they knew what to do and they didn't.
Right. You know, I've been in this business, 55 years or more?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of half-ass and, like, what were they thinking kind of repairs, that kind of thing there.
Sure.
And when I saw this, they said, this has got to be number one because I have never seen anything this stupid, this deadly or dangerous in my life. And like we were saying, what were they thinking?
Surely. Did you come upon this because there was something up with the brakes? Or
yeah, it was my friend's wife's car.
Right,
and,
right.
I'm sorry, it was a Jeep. Excuse me, it was a Jeep, 2006 Jeep, that they bought brand new. So it wasn't a used car.
Right.
And the last time they had brakes done, it was done at this dealership, Lithia, out here.
Dealership.
And they said, yeah, it was squealing. It was down to the squealer. So when you pulled it apart, the chunk of piston, it had to go in about an inch deep and about an inch and a half wide on like an oval shape, almost like an egg shape, that literally fell out. And you could see the glue where it fell apart, where they glued it together. It wasn't just a crack.
Some schnook broke it, probably doing a brake job or whatever.
Yep.
Nobody was looking. He glued it back together and slapped it out the door.
You know, already this week I've changed, I think, five calipers, two master cylinders, and like did five brake flushes.
And
it's not a hard thing to do when you're in that.
Yeah, seriously.
So caliper to cause an easy thing, but
yeah, and you know what you're doing. That has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, sometimes.
You know, and you find this one thing I hate because I just work on friends' cars. You know, there's no money involved. It's not a business or anything. And come over, it's a social thing there.
And they stay friends. So how bad could it be?
More fix from what somebody screwed up and then doing the actual repair right the first time.
Right,
right, right.
Well,
right.
And it's notorious. Yeah. Out here.
Send pictures out. We'd love to see that, please.
Yeah, I got them. What should I send them?
To the
Motormouth website?
Yeah, Motormouth to the email account. Motormouthradio@ncc.edu. Anyway, by the way, I did get the CDs. I forgot to bring Joe's in for them. That is the car and driver CD that I have at home. Thank you very much for doing that. I'm going to send you my set of five car song CDs that I made. And
cool.
I'll get them out to you during the week.
No problem. I appreciate that. I'll be around. So I know you got to take a break. I just want to touch base, give you that update, and I'll get those pictures out.
Thank
when you see
that.
Them, you're not going to believe it.
Sounds good.
key point to the general listening audience, know your mechanic, don't go coupon shopping, right, and ask to see the old parts, and if they suspect a problem, to discuss it with you rather than just let it go.
And give them that, and give them that bottle after he fixes your car, if you're appreciative.
Yes, right, right. And like I say, I always stand behind my brake jobs.
Yeah, me too. thanks a lot, Brock.
Have a great day, guys.
Take
Enjoy your week. I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Brock.
Bump.
We're going to take another break. I got to say, that's what I've been doing at the shop. I had this, you know, Mike Jr. was asking me, like, what's with these parts? Can I get rid of these? I was like, no, those are the old parts from the car I worked on. I said, I'm in the habit of saving all the old parts.
Right.
In case the customer wants to see them, here they are. So that is a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, plus cores sometimes.
Yeah, and well, that's a whole other thing is cores. We're going to come back with our good buddy Billy G from the Malba Show, who's going to talk about that because it's coming up next week.
Sure.
After our break. That was a nutty, nutty problem that Bronk talked about. So let's appropriately lead it out on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. And we'll be back after a little nuttiness. Keep it where you got it.
I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Opa! Yahtzee!
Hi, this is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
It's now easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
All right, just indulge me while I do this little bit of a drum solo here. It's kind of hard to do that and talk at the same time, but I've been working on my skills, limbering up my wrists, and I think it's working pretty good. Let me tone that down a little bit. Let's get back to the business of radio with your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D., Motormouth Radio. We are... Did you catch that drum solo, Joe? I was really rocking it, man. I was flying. But
heard that one down the hall.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I was trying really hard.
Cool.
So we have a flashy thing. Let's go back. And say,
more flashing.
Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Raymond, Joseph, Billy G.
Billy, how
Billy
are you?
Billy Velvet.
All right,
what's up, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. What's happening?
Well, I just wanted to call in. We're doing the Malba annual children's hot dog party / car show at the beach next Sunday, September 10th.
Excellent.
We're coming back for it would be my 16th year.
Wow.
As your chairman.
Damn.
Now,
it's become an institution, you know that. They're going to have to carve something in stone with your face on it someplace, you know?
Well, you know, the whole idea with these shows is, and I heard you, I'm listening, so things change, and you got to keep things fresh.
Yep.
Now, if you remember, we started this show I got on board in 99, 2000.
Right.
And the whole idea was when you're doing the classes and the divisions, at first, my last division on the late model and late stock cars was 73 to present. Well, the present was 73 to 99.
Okay. Wasn't that big a present, yeah.
Yeah, so now to keep it fresh, there's a lot of guys that are acquiring cars that may have been uncles, aunts, grandfathers, or just cars that were in the neighborhood. So you've seen a lot of the 70s stuff popping out.
Sure.
And 80s cars.
Mm-hmm.
So what I realized was, to keep it fresh, it wasn't fair that the guys that are showing up with the supercars, because the present now went from 2000 to 2018, 2017, so you had 17 more model years.
Sure.
So it wasn't fair for the guy showing up now with the 79 Lincoln Continental to compete against the guy in the
2015,
in the 2014 Camaro.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
So I retooled the whole show this year.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's 10 new divisions, and the classes are stock and modified. So the guy that shows up now with the 80s and 90s, guy shows up with a 93 Elante, he's not going to compete against a guy in the Ferrari or Lamborghini nice. That would show up.
As long as I don't have to compete against Hank Sarno, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's good. You know, the main thing now is the 60s cars are all to themselves. It's 60s and,
yeah.
You know, 1960 to 69.
Right, right.
But Hank, yeah, Hank is showing up. Hank's got a gem he's showing up with, and he's got a 58 Jeep pickup.
Nice.
Yeah, and but that's the beauty of the show. I got a Copo. I got some Copos showing up. My understanding, Sergio Fernandez from VetWorks is coming with a rolling fuel injected detail chassis.
Hey, Bill, catch us up on that. Last I heard, Sergio was like out of town. He was gone.
He's back and forth.
Okay.
He's back and forth, and this is basically. He's got some cars down in Florida at the shop. He's got cars up here. He's finishing up.
Okay.
He'll be there with his Copo Corvette. He calls Bubba.
Bubba.
The 427 coupe.
Nice.
66. The four and a quarter car.
Yeah. Wow, that's a Bubba.
Yeah, that's and then I got so Sergio will be there. And then I got Long Island Corvette owners on board this year. They're doing a, you know, we had Corvette Alley that went off to the
Yeah, off by the barbecue there.
Right by the barbecue. So now that's going to be my spillover. And now I have Lycoa Lane, which is going to run up along the waterfront up to the crest of the hill.
I wouldn't mind living on that block, boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is incredible what you could do with a neighborhood, man. You know, well, I mean, that's a regular neighborhood, nice, quiet neighborhood during the rest of the other 364 days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it into one of the nicest car shows, like, period.
Right.
Forget about the East Coast, New York, period, man.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, you got to play by the rules, though. You know, I do the permits. I have, I get the fire department comes by, does the inspection. I got the local precinct, which is,
right, we get a blessing.
Always nice to have on board. I got to do the petition, circulate. I got to let people know we're closing the streets. I do the publication in the local paper. So yeah, you play by the rules, and then anybody wants to challenge you, mightier than the sword.
You know, just that's very good. We wouldn't expect less. Just to give people listening a little bit of history, that's kind of what got the three of us together, because back, I don't know how many years ago it was now.
Maybe 5 years.
Five, six, seven. Marty Shore, of course, the guy who put the sizzle on the steak at Motion Performance, sends me an email, because we had been in touch with him already for a few years, and said, hey, you're going to the Malba show. And I'm like, Malba? What? No, where's that? He goes, it's in Whitestone.
What's a Malba?
So I wrote to Joe. I said, hey, Joe, Marty Shore just asked me about this Malba in Whitestone. You're a Whitestone guy. What is this? And then Joe told me. He goes, Joe says, who's putting on the show? I said, I don't know, some guy named Bill. And then the wheels started turning to bits.
Yeah.
It was like the Pachinko game where pieces started falling in. Altar Boy stories got swapped. Pizza stories were here and there. Next thing you know, you guys are friends forever.
We know each other for 1,000 years. Yeah.
And now here we are.
Ray was like, yeah, this guy Billy from Whitestone. I'm like, Okay.
Back when altar boys spoke Latin, right, Joe?
Yeah. Dominus, Dominus. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Illegitimae non comerundum. Yeah, because I was like, wait a minute, is this guy Billy got like a little sister? Because like, if it's that Billy, I don't know if he wants to see me.
But then I heard, well, no, my drummer lived up in Malba, and then you know, we used to practice over there.
Like, yeah. I know it's a small world, and then sure enough, we hadn't seen each other physically in many years, and then the day of the show, it's like, because that show always had a great reputation in the neighborhood. Yeah. Especially among the Whitestone car guys.
Yeah, you know what? It's nice when I continue to hear that guys don't go to shows and they only come out for this one. Like, I have
a
good friend showing up. He's got a 65 Daytona Coupe, Shelby Daytona Coupe he's bringing over.
Wow.
It's a real deal, you know? So, so that fits into the new division of exotics and supercars. Like, that's Division 3 this year.
Uh-huh.
The guys with the Lambos, the Countaches, you know, the Countaches, the Ferraris, the supercars, they compete against themselves. And it's, when I say compete, it's,
they display against each other.
And then it's, I got the secret, committee. I'm, five plackets. I changed that up too. It's, trophy wise, I'll probably get 70 trophies and I get 150 cars. It's a 50% ratio. It's,
the other thing is this.
That's all it is, 150 cars?
Well, I actually...
Typically?
I could do 150. I think 150 would be the limit to keep the quality. It's a quality. I'm not a...
I'm not...
I don't want to,
I'm not saying it that way, Bill. I'm saying like you walk in, it's like car heaven. You walk down by the water. It's car after car after car, and it stretches off into one curve. It stretches off into the other curve.
Next, there'll be a floating barge with cars.
Yes.
What's the theme this year, Bill?
And then you
hit
the food tables and screw it.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the theme this year, Bill? Because I know every year you do have a theme.
The theme is with the addition of like Coal Lane, and I'm going to have a Gliptone will be there, and basically with Sergio's display, it's kind of like a tribute and to thank everybody for coming out for the Sweet 16 this year.
Uh-huh.
And Sergio's been with me since day one, and Sergio will be relocate, and just a matter of just a it's kind of like a breather year.
Okay,
because
good.
Next year will be the 60th anniversary of the event that started in 58 as a back to school.
My own, yeah.
And then I think I'm coming back. I got to come back next year.
Yeah, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Just when you thought you was out.
I know. So I created more work for myself this year by retooling it, and just I got to keep it simple, stupid, as my wife used to say. God bless Lorraine, looking down on us.
Right, right.
She's giving us the rainstorm this week because next week it's 74 and cloudy and clear already.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's nice to have people in high places.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, we're trying out the new system. It's a Sweet 16 show that I'm involved with. And just a matter of single out a lot of the guys that have been with me since day one because, catch our breath. And then... I tried to do some special things, but with licensing and fees, it became, I got to look at the bottom line. I can't lay out because we like to give we're not for profit, so we like to contribute back into the community, the volunteer ambulance corps.
Right,
sure.
And I just can't. You got a reputation for doing things right, and after a while, you want to live up to that.
And, of course, the Retro Garage is a big part of that also.
Retro Garage is me. I waive all fees and commissions. Right there, if I was putting the show together, they told me Orchard Beach is dead in the water, that I want to take over that venue. I can do it, and I can have next weekend after. I can have the 17th that I want to do a show up there. I said, does anybody realize what's involved in one of these shows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you start 15 minutes.
No, it's quite a lot.
So, yes, and then with Let East going to the side, like I said, the generations, we're getting older, and you got to like keeping it fresh, and I got guys showing up, Audi A3s, and I'm not depriving anybody of showing up. I don't advertise per se, but Right. I know that there were listeners out there that always say, well, what's the deal with the Malba show? The Malba show is it's at the foot of the Whitestone Bridge. If you were putting on in GPS, you'd use the address of 32 Boulevard.
Yep.
That's the house address. That's the smack in the middle of the show. You can get in touch with me at WGG3449@AOL.com. Email me for info or call my cell at 917-767-7340.
Excellent.
I have 85 cars pre-registered where I have money in hand. I know I have a commitment of 15 additional cars. The guys tell me they're showing up the day of, and then plus whoever shows up at the gate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm more than happy with the turnout already.
Excellent.
Yeah, your efforts have not been in vain so far, that's for sure.
And you know, of course, your standing invitation is always there. I hope, you know, hopefully you drive in.
Yep.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it, Bill.
I appreciate the time and continued success with the show. I like the groove that you two guys have together.
Very kind.
Yes. And
a kind thing to say to any musician, right?
And we'll talk next week.
Oh, heck yeah.
Just give me the wave. You know me, I have the tunnel vision. It's like
No. We know how you work, Bill. We'll make sure we know. And you can't keep us away.
And my eyeballs are burning out your retinas because I'm looking three steps ahead of you already.
I understand.
Please make sure you see me.
Oh, heck yeah. You got a deal. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Same here. Take care now.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty, that was Billy G from the Retro Garage and the Malba Car Show happening next weekend at Malba,
yes,
New York.
What a great show.
Absolutely.
Bill has always put on a quality show.
Fantastic, yeah.
You know what I mean? And look at this. I mean, he actually came up with new classes.
I know.
It's not like, you know, a month ahead of time he says, you know what, can we have the street for a couple hours on this such and such a day?
Right.
No, he's been working with this for quite some time. I mean, we've had contact, and his wheels have been turning now for months.
And they're well oiled.
Yes.
Those bearings are packed the right way.
Yes, with synthetic lubricant.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what else is synthetic about this. We're going to take our last break. We'll make a synthetic stew, I think, and we'll be back. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about what we were going to talk about from the beginning of the show, Joe.
I forgot what was that. Yeah, I got CRS now.
We'll figure out on a break. But for Joe D, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, keep it where you got it. Let's all have some stew.
This is Rita Monte. Would you like to take a trip to romantic Italy with me? Let's go together every Thursday with Profumi d'Italia. You will hear and savor Italy's soul with music from yesterday and today. Learn about Italy's museums, countryside, restaurants, festivals, and wineries. Most of all, you will learn about Italy's history and its people. Thursdays at 5 p.m., experience the essence of Italy on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey, guys. Ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay, then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Every sound, the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Well, there I go again, cutting myself off and cutting Kim off, as a matter of fact. Sorry, Kim, in perpetuity, but...
They let you have sharp objects again.
I know, and
we
slidey
have to
things.
Talk to management about that, yeah. You know? They really got, we got to go back to the rubber one.
I'm used to having wrenches and like pry bars and hammers in my hand lately, but now it's just slotty things.
Yeah, that's right. You're kind of back to the whole wrenching thing, and
pretty much
that does change your perspective on stuff.
It does.
I mean, you know, pretty much these days in a shop, or at least. There's always there's the wrenching aspect of it, and there's the diagnostic. I can't barely hold a screwdriver without putting my eye out these days. So
I actually thought of that the other day. How we're
kind of taking divergent paths there.
Well, yeah, we're kind of doing the opposite pieces of the repair deal, and about three times this past week, we're at the shop and a car, different cars came in, and Mike runs out with his new Autel scanner to check out the car. A Honda had like a myriad of codes. One was an EVAP. The other one was a what the hell was the other one? It was something
probably
nasty.
Thermostat.
You know, and he was pulling codes, and I said, you know what? He asked me. He says, you know, what do you think about this? I said, I think this is a job for Joe. I said, this is what Joe does. I said, because I've learned just by osmosis that you can't. You got to look at those separately.
You got to do triage. Yeah, absolutely. You have to do triage with some of this stuff, and people leave codes in.
Oh yeah.
People set codes because their brother-in-law, cousin twice removed, was looking at the car and they disconnected 17 things, causing 18 other codes, you know. So
and I was also talking about pattern failure, where, you know, a guy who looks at this like you, who sees these all the time, recognizes, oh yeah, Toyota with that, oh yeah, it's probably this,
right? Silver bullets, which, you know, is always nice to have silver bullets, but you got to be careful with them, because a lot of times what you do is you go jumping right for the whatever it is, and it ain't that this time.
Well, it's usually what I explained to him was the silver bullet would be, okay, it's a Toyota with this code, so it's probably this. So
let's check
instead,
that
let's
first.
Go into it. Let's go here or go there. Again, it's knowing where to go and what to do instead of just saying order the part.
Sure, because that's what happens a lot of times, is that especially when you see the same type of car over and over again. Certain shops have a clientele. Like, I mean, there was a time when I was up to my ass in Nissan Altimas.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And then that's
not that high, really.
No, it's not. You know, because especially if the tires, you know, if the TPMS works, then the tires are up and stuff. But I mean, at different times, you're going to see, you might see the same type of car over and over again, and you say, oh, Nissan needs that, Toyota it needs that, Chevy needs this. But, you know, and one of the places where I see that a lot of is nose slots.
Okay. Right,
where they come in on the hook, and you know, and of course the boss is like, let's get it started, let's get it going, let's go on to the next thing. I'm like, well, no, you really should like at least do a little bit of triage first. Right. And this is the kind of stuff too that you know, you may come out one morning and the car's, you know, in front of your house or in the driveway, and it doesn't start, and you want to do some checks. And pretty much what I'm going to talk about here, I'm not going to spend too much time with the classic cars with the carburetors and distributors points or basic electronic ignition, because it's pretty straight up. You know what I mean?
Basic modern family
cars. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about, say, like mid-80s to like early 2000s cars, mostly fuel injected.
Okay.
You know what I mean? First thing I do, and I do this too with no starts, that they drop off the truck and just to get a feel for what's happening. For starters, I start with my driver's seat diagnostics.
Yeah.
Jump in the car, turn the key on. First thing I do is I look at lights.
Okay.
And pretty much the two lights that I want to look at is the check engine light or the service engine tune light, or if you're in a European car, oh, this is going to hurt money-wise light.
Yeah, right.
And then the security light. Yeah, it says theft, security, please don't steal me. Because if those lights are not behaving properly, now the check engine light should at least illuminate momentarily. Most of the time it'll stay on. Other times it'll come on and then go off. Same thing with the whatever the theft-related light says. Because if that stays on, for example, you may have an anti-theft problem. In which case, stop.
Some of them call it, is that some of them SIM? Is that the what's the code for security interlock? Well,
there's patch, there's passkey, there's a whole bunch of a whole bunch of different ones.
Okay,
but I take a quick look at that, because if I see like a security light, I'm like, okay, scanner's got to come out, or you got another key for this,
right?
All right, and we'll go. You know, I want to kind of blow through this real quick, because you could easily delve into this deeper.
Well, the job here isn't to teach people how to do it, because that's impossible.
Just to get a feel for it.
Education,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the first thing we do is we look at them two lights, see if they're behaving normally. normally. The next thing is, if you got a tachometer, and this also applies to the older cars, crank the engine over, all right? And pretty much most engines turn over, if they're healthy, somewhere between 150 and 300 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
So the tach needle is going to move up to like a little under the 500 mark. If that tach needle doesn't move, that tells me that whatever triggers the ignition system is now suspect.
Good point.
So that just kind of goes in the memory bank.
Yeah.
And
until you find out the tach, I mean, the tach hasn't worked in 8 years.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, there's always going to be that one spoiler, right?
No, but I'm saying, yeah. No, but in your world, I know that you think of that because you have to have the data before you can ask the next round of questions.
Right. Exactly. Because it's always levels. It's like peeling away the onion. You know what I mean? So I mean, you know, that's a quick and dirty check, which may or may not be useful. Also, certain car companies, particularly Fords, you watch the check engine light. If the check engine light goes out while you're cranking, whatever your RPM signal is for that car.
Mm-hmm.
Is working.
Okay.
That is actually a home run Ford trick, which works on certain other cars, but just so you know, that's a all quick right. and dirty that
so
I use.
Let's say the car passes the light test.
Right. Then now we pop the hood. And I only grab, believe it or not, a regular generic test light. A plain Jane generic test light. I also grab, if I can, a lovely assistant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is
Kim looked up.
Yes, there you go. See, like Kim would be
hold
perfect
this.
For that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is your opportunity for quality time with the wife and kids.
Okay.
All right. Or have one of your friends come over with a six pack or something.
At the shop, it's a guy named Ahmed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, coming here. I'm needing the turnkey. Okay.
Right.
And what we'll do next with the test light, and by the way, this is a regular plain Jane.
12-volt test light.
Yeah, no fancy schmancy LED stuff, because we're going to use it for more than like an educated jumper wire.
You need the load.
Yeah, you need the load. You know, you hook it up to ground.
Not the Jack Daniels you were talking about. That's later.
Yeah, that comes after you can't figure out what's going on.
Got it.
And what you do is you check for spark.
Okay.
Now, basically, I usually use a glove or I prop up the ignition wire so because I don't like to touch these things. And my rule of thumb is a thumb distance away. You hold the test light while somebody cranks the car, and I'm looking for a nice, regular, orange to yellow zap, zap, zap. Okay? Now, if I have a car with a distributor and I ain't getting that, now I'm going to go to the coil. I'm going to try that again at the coil. Because if it's zapping out of the coil, but it's not zapping out of the plug wire, I got a problem with the cap rod or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If it's not coming out of the coil, next thing I do is I take the test light, and I go to coil negative. Turn the key on. Does it light up?
Should have 12 volts.
All right. And then, well, my lovely assistant cranks it.
Right.
Does it kind of pulse?
Right.
Or flash? That tells me whether I have triggering from the module, the computer, the whatever. All right. And that kind of just, you know, at this point, you're starting to look. I have spark. Okay. So forget spark. You know,
okay.
Spark is good. Or I don't have spark, but I have it out of the coil, but not out of the distributor. Or I don't have any trigger. Right there, you've just kind of peeled the onion away whether or not you have a distributor problem.
You're creating a trouble tree.
Or yeah.
You've created a trouble tree for.
Yeah, it's basic stuff. Now, fuel, real quick. Again, injected cars. Unplug an injector. Most cars, they're relatively easy to get at. You know, relatively, if you can. And we'll get to that, if not, in just a second. What you do is you turn a key on, you check for power on one wire of the injector, and the other one should not have power.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the one that does, once you've verified that you have your power on the one side, what you do on the other side, move your test light over the battery positive, have your lovely assistant crank it,
mm-hmm.
and does it flash?
Yeah.
All right, if it flashes, you have injector pulse.
Right.
All right, so right about then, you've just knocked out the big things there. Now, if you can't get at the injector, or you have injector pulse and the thing still doesn't start, you know, essentially what you're going to do now is you grab a can of what we used to call carburetor cleaner, but now I call diagnostic fluid.
Diagnostic fluid, yeah, good.
Undo the air duct, and you go right down the throttle body, open the throttle, count to 10, spray like 10 seconds worth of carburetor cleaner in there, let it go, and try to start the car. If the car hits,
mm-hmm.
it's a fuel problem.
Right, because now you know you have ignition.
Right.
That fired the diagnostic fuel.
And by the way, just carburetor cleaner, please.
Yeah.
All right? Starting fluid detonation is a can.
Yes,
in a can.
It is.
Also, things like WD-40 or brake cleaner produce like phosgene gas and stuff like that, which pretty much they used to use in World War I for so not so nice purposes. Mm-hmm. Let's not bring that back.
No.
But pretty much, if you could spend about 15 minutes and you could decide whether it's spark or fuel.
Right.
All right. Once you know that, You've just, you know, basically a car doesn't start because of spark fuel compression. You've narrowed it down pretty quickly to which way you want to go. And then you can go to the next level, which we will talk about. I just figured I wanted to get that out there because we've had a few no-start questions, you know, both over the phone and...
That's an excellent synopsis. People want to listen to this, go to motormouthradio.com where they can find the replay probably in a day or so. I just have to say, next week, besides the Malibu show, we have Paulette and Amy from Duplicolor on the show. They're going to talk about their new line of finishes that are peel-on, you know, spray-on, peel-off. And with that, Joe, we will go and let Kim take over.
Yeah, Thunder Road is next.
And we will be back
next week.
Speaking
of lovely assistants.
So keep it where you got it. For Joe D., this is Ray Guarino, Motor Mouth Radio. See you next week.
Bye.